Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, visit therockonline.org. And now a message from the Rock of Gainesville.
All right, we're going to jump right into the Word. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to bring this today. I ask for your anointing to be strong and rich, Lord, that I will not be in the way, but I will just speak what you have spoken to me through this Word over the last several months. Father, as we're just looking at the day and the hour, the times and the seasons that we're living in, Lord, and know that without Jesus Christ, there's no hope for our nation. But there is a hope for our nation because of you, Father, and we're excited about living and being a part today. This is our generation. This is our day. This is our opportunity. So, Father, forgive us when we've had the woe is me, and help us to be strong in our identity in who we are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We give you thanks and praise. Everybody said a big amen. So we're talking about the knowing the times that we're living in. Romans chapter 1, and I will say I had to forgive Pastor Jamie because I mentioned what chapter and verses I was going to be preaching out of, and then that rascal went and preached for two solid weeks out of Romans chapter 1. You did awesome, Jamie. And so I'm going to leave it alone except for these two verses. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Matter of fact, you can read it with me out loud. Read, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Amen. The righteous shall live by faith. That's what we are called to live. That's how we're called to live. Not the woe is me and things are so bad, but we have the power and the authority and the anointing to live as righteous men and women of God and young people. As young people, we don't have to lose this generation of young people to how bad things are in the world. We're called to raise up a generation. I made the mistake a few weeks ago. Nick and Anita and all their babies were up hugging on me. They weren't the ones that got me sick. But I was hugging on all those precious little babies, and I said something about the baby. Was she the last one? And Anita rebuked me. Well, I mean, they only have, I can remember how many they have. How many y'all got? Seven. That's a perfect number. It would be for me. There are seven kids in my family. I was the fourth. No, I was the fifth. I can't remember. Too many of them. Well, actually, when I was 50, I found out I was not there was eight. Never mind. I love mercy and goodness and forgiveness of God. Amen. But Nita said something to me that really struck home. She said, "But Pastor, aren't we supposed to raise up a tribe, a generation of children to bring the kingdom of God in its full power?" So she basically rebuked her pastor. And I received it with gladness of heart. And so are y'all pregnant yet? Or no, no? Okay. So, I just want to make sure. I want to rejoice with you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to read five verses here that, man, this is some powerful stuff, especially when we're talking about knowing the time and the season that we're living in, how we're to respond. Paul's writing to his young spiritual son, Timothy, and he says this, "I charge you," that's a strong word. He wasn't just saying, "I hope you'll hear this." I mean, he's speaking as a father to a son, and he's saying to him, "I charge you, Timothy," with this word he's about to give. He said, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." I'll pause there and say the word that Pastor Jamie brought the last couple of weeks, a word I brought 3 weeks ago, in a lot of ways, it was a word of reproof. It was a word of correction. It was a challenge to us as a people and as a house, how we're to live and how we're not to be moved by the circumstances of the day and the hour that we're living in. Because we all know we're living in crazy times. I mean, you literally cannot turn on the news. You can't even pull up internet news without reading stuff that is in so many ways mind-boggling. It's not just discouraging. I mean, we're living in a society in America today where many of our politicians, the liberal left, are trying to convince us that our children have a right to dismember their bodies, and we as parents have no say-so in it. I'm sorry, but that's crazy. I mean, it's a good thing my kids are already grown because I'd go to jail. I mean, I'd go to jail. We were talking with our kids the other day, and one of our, I don't remember which, one of our sons, one of our granddaughters was telling us that she went in for her pediatrician checkup, and they're trying to get it where the parents can't be in there when the girls are 10, 11, 12, 13 years of age. You better call the police on me. I mean, you better be bigger than me if you're going to throw me out of here. But righteous parents got to stand up and say no. Heaven, no. And for them, maybe it's hell, no. Well, I mean, whatever they got to hear. There's more doctors out there. Don't go back to that one. We have a responsibility. You're gonna meet with my 10-year-old daughter or granddaughter, 11-year, 12-year-old, and say, I can't be there as a parent? They're going to ask your daughter questions. They're going to give leading questions. Look, this isn't just some hearsay. This is happening in our nation. There are states being led by the liberal left that are establishing laws that just right before COVID, we would have declared that's never going to happen in America. That happens over in that country. That happens over there in that third world place. But that doesn't happen here in America. But the word of God does not change. So everything Pastor Jamie preached, the power of it, does not change. Just because we're living in a time, in a place where those who are leading and ruling and governing have lost their mind, we do not lose our mind. We stand up for righteousness. We walk in truth and in love. He said, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people, listen to this, will not endure sound teaching. That wasn't just for 2,000 years ago, church. That is for the day that we're living in. People, churches right here in this city have had to vote as a church whether they're going to stay in a denomination where they believe and accept homosexuals and lesbians in same-sex marriage to pastor and lead their churches in this city. There are people in this house today that left those churches, not because of the vote, but because they voted. When I first started hearing about this, matter of fact, one of my sweet little neighbors, she's a little widow lady, and her and I walk a lot in the afternoons together. A few weeks ago, she told me on our walk, she said, Pastor, it was so disturbing in our little church in Alachua. She said, we had to vote. Are we going to stay with the church, and is the church going to accept this? Or are we going to say no to all of these things? I said, what happened? She said, well, fortunately, we voted to stay, hear me, with Scripture. Yeah. Well, thank God, right? Yeah. Thank God they voted to stay with Scripture. But I said to her immediately, because it's a little church out in the country. And I said, was there any fallout? She said, oh, yeah, yeah. We lost a lot of people. Probably 40% of the church left. Took their little tithe with them. I said, sweetheart, good riddance. It's not that we don't love. There's nobody I don't love. But I don't love their sin. And I'm sure not going to embrace it. We are forewarned in the Word of God. And parents, hear me. Some of your kids that are in public school and in colleges are hearing, they're being bombarded with stuff. You better be talking to your children about what they're hearing and what they're thinking. Don't be afraid to let them tell you what they think. Now, it might scare the behebies out of you, but you need to know so you can help them. They're still your children, and they still need to be taught. It's the Word of God that's going to save them. Not, well, I don't know, Mom, you know, all my girlfriends have girlfriends. Well, you can have a friend that's a girl, but you better know what the Word of God says and how you talk your child through that situation. You don't just talk out of your emotions. You go back to the Word of God. You stay in the Word of God. You got to know the times. This is not 20 years ago, 40 years ago in America. This is the new America. And we, the church, have got to not be afraid to speak about these things. Because I will stand before God in judgment one day and be held accountable. Now, it might not be popular. And in your flesh, you might already be at that place where you're just like, can't we just all love each other and get along? We can love each other. Getting along, I can't walk with you unless we're walking the same direction. Don't get quiet on me. It's not that we don't love these people. Lights are going crazy in here. It's the Lord's way of clapping, I think. Let me finish reading this. Verse 3, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Listen to this. But they have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Well, I don't like what Pastor George has to say. But where are you joined to? Sometimes I don't like what I have to say. I can't leave myself. But I'm going to answer to God. And it's not about being mean. I've had some really sweet lesbian friends. Ladies that I love. Matter of fact, one of them, one couple, partners, married, whatever they call it, not before God. They know my stance. They know what I believe. But I have treated them with great respect and love. I love you. Don't ask me to embrace your lifestyle. One of them, when her mother died, she called me. Pastor, you know my mom was a Christian like you. That's what she said. And she's been in the same church for 45 plus years. And I've talked with her pastor. But I want to ask you, will you come out in the country and do her service? I said, sweetheart, you know if I do, I'm going to speak truth. She named her partner and she said, we know, we respect you, and we're okay with it. And man, I went out there in the country, and that little pastor was out there. He'd been out there for probably been preaching longer than I've been alive. And he respectfully allowed me, and afterwards, He came up and embraced me and hugged me and thanked me that I was willing to come at the wishes of the daughter and the mother, but that I did not hold back truth. Spoke truth in love. Hear me. You can speak truth in love. You can speak truth in love to your kids. You just got to make sure that you don't change your theology, because now all of a sudden you have a son or daughter that's being swayed. I've had pastor friends that have literally changed their whole church doctrine, not based on the word of God, but based on the fact that their son or daughter chose a lifestyle and they started preaching grace, 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 grace. How many of you love grace? I love grace. Just don't make grace cheap. Grace is not enabling you to do whatever you want, because you know God loves me anyhow and I'm just dust and he forgives me. No, his son died on the cross, a horrible death. His blood was shed for you and me to be cleansed and made whole, healed and delivered, set free from lifestyles of wickedness. He didn't do that just so we could quote grace, grace. Man, I love grace. I wouldn't be up here today. I wouldn't be living today if it weren't for the grace of God. I mean, when a doctor tells you you have 3 months to live, maybe a year with meds, you have to choose. Am I going to believe what the doctor says? I'm going to believe what God says, because his word doesn't fail. And if the Lord speaks through his word, a word to you, hear me, you can take it to the bank. Amen. And we can take it for our children. Verse 4, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Boy, does it sound like Paul might have just written this for us today? As for you, hear me, Paul saying to his son Timothy, as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Hear me. We have 9 men and women of God in this house that have been set apart to do the work of the ministry, to govern and provide for the leadership of this church. But hear me, every single person in this place that's been saved and filled with the Holy Spirit of God is called into full-time ministry, and your calling and your responsibility is every bit as great as mine. You're called to the business field. You're called to finance. You're called to education. You're called to the medical field. That calling is every bit as valuable as my calling. So when Paul's talking and encouraging and exhorting, he's not doing it to the 5-fold ministries of the church. He's doing it to all of us as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? We're called, set apart for such a time as this. So this is the day that we're living in. They're crazy. Scripture says perilous times. But hear me. Fear not. Say that out loud. Fear not. We're not called to live in fear. We're called to live in faith, in righteousness. We have to know and understand the times we're living in and not allow the spirit of fear to overtake us, because we are literally commanded not to fear. I love the story, preached it many times, of when the Moses' time was up and the Lord came and said, Moses, come with me. We're going to take a trip up the mountain. It'll be your last trip. You're not coming back down. Moses says goodbye to all the family, all the friends, gets Joshua ready, goes to the top of the mountain, and that's it. Next morning, God wakes up Joshua, says, wake up, rise up. And the first thing he says to him is, I need you to be courageous. I need you to not be fearful. Don't look at all the natural. How many of you know, if you were the one called and set apart, and all of a sudden you're looking at about 6 million Jews out there spread out all over the land, and most of the time they're griping and complaining. You've watched them do it with Moses for generations, and now all of a sudden God says, you're it. I'd say, is anybody else talking up there? I really like being number two. But God says, no, you're it. Rise up. Get full of courage. Be courageous. Be very courageous. Can I speak to you, the church of the 21st century today, the Rock of Gainesville? Fear not about the day and the time, the hour that we're living in. If you need to turn off stupid vision to keep your faith, turn it off. Amen, Pastor. Hear me. If you find yourself constantly dealing with fear, what is going in is what's coming out. So if you fill yourself with the Word of God, there are times when I'm reading stuff even written by good godly men, and I'm going, I don't even want to hear that today. That's just bad, bad, and more bad. Go over the scripture and find out. Matter of fact, Paul said to Timothy, he said, be prepared for suffering. We have to raise up our children not to be wusses. Hear me. We need to train up our young boys and girls to be strong, and don't be trying to shelter them for, I don't want them to see or hear this. If not from anybody else, they better be hearing it from you. Because whether you know it or not, they're hearing it. They're seeing it. They're watching it. If they got an iPad or an iPhone, I'm telling you, they're seeing stuff you would just almost pass out if you really realized it. Teach them. Train them. Train them. Raise them up to be righteous. Raise them up to love God. Raise them up when you're worshiping God in the house of God and you look over and your kid's there with his hands in his pocket or his head's down and he's bored out of his mind. That's a good time to just step over there beside him, put your arm around, start teaching them what worship's all about. Why we worship the King of Kings. You love life, son? You love life, daughter? You love what your family has? You love the peace we have in our home? You love the vacations we get to go on? That's all from God. Teach them and train them. And don't let them stand there like a... whatever you want to call them. Don't. Teach them to worship God. Get their hands out of their pockets. Dads, talking to you. Don't worship God like this. Get your hands out. Learn how to surrender. He's King of Kings. Dad, you would be lost and on your way to hell if it weren't for Jesus. Don't need a mountaintop experience at some conference somewhere to get you to want to worship God. Worship God in the midst of the day and the hour and the battle that you're living, right here and right now. Love God with all that's within you. Love Him like this is the last day you're going to have on the earth. And you're just going to go through the door of death right into His presence. I live every day of my life that way. I mean, when you've already been told you're going to die and you're still living, well, then worship God. Say, well, I haven't had that death sentence put on me. Well, you could. Be glad you haven't. And worship God. Why? Because He's worthy. I don't need Jamie and the keyboard and the drums. I love them. I wish I could sing like them. And in heaven, I will. I might lead the choir. Who knows? But you know what? I don't need all that to be a worshiper. I worship in my shower. I worship when I'm driving down the road. I worship when I'm out walking every night. Worship. Why? Because He's worthy. And our children from the earliest age. And I love that about Pastor Ed and Heather and all that they're doing in our children's ministry back there, that they're teaching our kids to worship God. They're teaching them to lift up their hands. Why do we lift up our hands? We surrender to the God who's given us everything. Amen? Amen. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, woe. You ready for this? Y'all want me to leave this one along? I'm bypass this one. You ready for this one? Isaiah the prophet, this is what he says. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I mean, the prophet is speaking and declaring. We as believers can never stand in that place of guilt where we call darkness light and light darkness. Where we say, well, it's okay, it's a new generation. Did y'all see the crazy news last week where they want AI to rewrite the Bible? I'm not joking. How many of y'all read it or saw it? It's crazy. But you know what they want? They want a Bible that offends no one. They want to take the Torah, they want to take the Bible, they want to take every God that's being worshipped, and they want to combine them all together, and they want AI to write us a Bible where we will not offend each other. My flesh offends my spirit all the time. And so does yours. I've seen some of y'all in the parking lot. I've seen you at the grocery store. Rude. What's that person doing jumping in line in front of me? Sometimes our flesh, come on, is ugly. But the Spirit of God inside of us, the Holy Spirit, He just convicts. He just lovingly convicts. Is that what you want to be known as? Father, I am so sorry. I know I just left church, had my hands up, was worshiping you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Did the Jehovah two-step a couple times. But sometimes our flesh is ugly. And if we surrender to it long enough, if we say, well, you know, it's a different time and season. You just got to love everybody. I've sat with young people that tried to convince me that God made them a homosexual. God loves me. And I wouldn't have these feelings if it wasn't God. And I lovingly spoke the truth back. And then that person told all kind of lies to others in the family about how I treated them and what I actually said. But you know what? Truth hurts. Truth will set you free. Truth will deliver us. And it's not just from homosexuality or lesbian. It's the whole sexual immorality, adultery, fornication. You're not married, you ought not to be sleeping together, living together in the same house. Well, yeah, but we're going to get married and we're living in different rooms. Then something's wrong with that. I'm sorry, but I'm a man. And if I love that person, she's in the other room, I'm going to be in the other room too. You don't put yourself in that position. You want to sleep together? Get married. That's what the word says. I mean, it's real clear. So sometimes we think, some people come and say, oh, you're just against homosexuals and lesbians. No, I'm against all sexual sin. Because I know what it does to your body. I know what it does to your family. I know what it does to your mind. I know what condemnation does. I know what guilt does. I know what shame does. We're not wanting you to not enjoy life. No, man, embrace God and His word, and it will set you free. Amen? So we can't call right wrong and wrong right, and gray is black and black is white. And no, we got to find out what does the word of God say, and then we love people with unconditional love. We hate their sin, but we love them. Embrace them. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid to touch them. Don't be afraid to embrace them. Because who knows that one day, I read an article this week by a young lady who was a lesbian for over 20 years, and she told her story. And the title of the article, Lord help me remember this. The title of her article, it was really good. The title of her article was Silence is not a command of the Lord. The title intrigued me. So when I started reading, I was like, where is she going with this story? And she started talking about her lifestyle for 20 years, then coming out of it over 15 years ago, walking in truth. She's an incredible, righteous woman of God today. But she's talking about the day and the hour that we're living in now and how we are having to deal constantly being bombarded with we need to change the way we think based on the world that we're living in today. That man that's in the office of the President of the United States, he's a wicked man. What he did last week in embracing all those half-nude transgenders on the property of the White House, the governing, leading place, literally, of the whole world. And when he made the statement, your children are my children. I'm sorry, but that's wicked and it's evil. I'm not standing up here promoting voting some certain way, except you better vote according to the Word of God. I can't even say anymore, vote your conscience, because some people ain't got a conscience. So they call themselves Christian, but they think they embrace everything. You can't embrace anything as a Christian except the Word of God. Y'all don't get quiet in here, because I'm telling you, it's the truth. Those three girls that gave those testimonies, powerful words that came out of their mouth. That young lady said, we won the College World Series, and the next day, I had no joy. I didn't even know how to act. I didn't even know how to respond. Because joy doesn't come from winning a trophy. You remember when the Florida Gators finally won their first national championship, 1996. My family was there. Man, it was exciting. We whipped my brother-in-law's Florida State Seminoles. And he was right there on row 15 on the 50-yard line with my family. And my brother-in-law leaned over about halfway through the third quarter. He said, can we go home now? I said, brother, I've been a Gator fan since I was born. We're not leaving until the big lady sings, and she ain't singing for a while. And we were there. We were standing there an hour after the game was over. But you know what? The next day, you remember the year before Nebraska beat us by like 70 points or something. How many of y'all remember that? How many of you remember when that Nebraska quarterback literally ran through 11 Gator defenders, had their hands on, and he ran through them like they were spaghetti and whipped us bad. Well, you know what? The year before when we lost, I woke up the next day, I still had my joy. But guess what? When we won the Gator game the next day, I didn't wake up with more joy. My joy was in Christ. I was happy that we won. But you know what? As soon as you won and went to bed and got up the next day, they're talking about next year. They can't even celebrate. And listen, what goes around comes around. So that year, we talked all kind of smack to my brother-in-law. He was pastoring in Tallahassee, and we were here in Gainesville. But it wasn't long after that when FSU beat the socks off of us and won a national championship. Woo! You got one other fan in here, Kirk. Miss Marianne right there. We got a FSU grad. Truth of the matter is he don't give a rip about FSU anymore. He lives in North Carolina. He doesn't even know who their coach is. But then again, I don't know who our coach is. So there are some things, hear me, that matter, right? But then there's a whole lot of stuff that doesn't matter. And I love what those girls said. You know, whether we win or lose, whether we get a trophy or not, our joy is in Christ. And in his, I love that. She said, in his kingdom. And that one day we're all going to be together celebrating our King. Wow, that gave me chill bumps. That's why I had to show that to you. Because that's how we need to raise up this next generation of children. Young people and youth. I got to finish. Y'all leave me alone. Psalm 139. Y'all know this one, man. This is powerful. This is what we have to teach our children. Okay? just out of that whole chapter, I'm going to give you five verses. Listen to this. The psalmist is saying to the Father, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful, O God, are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame, it was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you." Our children are not mistakes. Our little girls are not mistakes. Cosmetic surgery does not make you a woman if you were created a male. Changing your name does not make you a woman or a man. Changing your pronouns does not make you a woman or a man. Wearing a dress does not make you a woman or a man. Competing in women's sports does not make you a woman. Only God makes a woman. And only God makes a man. And there is no confusion. There's no 170 different genders. There's two, male and female. That's why they want to change the Word of God. That's why they want to take our Bible, because in the beginning was God, Genesis chapter 1. And God created male and female. He created us in His image and in His likeness. There's no confusion in the church. And there should be no confusion in your home. We have to stand righteous, full of truth. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and I close with this. And we know that for those who love God, how many things? All things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. So even though our beautiful nation is in a rapid decline, anti-God bigotry is entrenched among the left-wing liberal elites. The woke left is trying to convince our children that they may be the wrong sex, and the world even attempt to transition them without your knowledge or permission. The terrifying truth is, if we do nothing, our children will grow up in a country unrecognizable to you and me and to our founding fathers. The liberal far left will stop at nothing to keep pushing their harmful narrative and mocking our most sacred beliefs and Christian foundations. So dads, time to rise up, time to pray, time to vote, time to get involved locally, wherever and whenever the opportunity arises. We cannot be a silent church any longer. Amen? We have to be willing to raise our voices. Joshua 24, 15, "For as of me and my house," Joshua declared, "we will serve the Lord." Dads, will you make that declaration? Will you declare that, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve God Almighty. We're going to stop turning our heads. We're going to stop being blinded. We're going to stop just letting our kids be infiltrated with all kind of garbage without us dealing with it. I'm going to talk to my children. I'm going to talk to them about truth. I'm going to talk to them about the beauty of how they were created, how God has a purpose, a plan, a future, and a hope for every one of them. Will you say amen to that? Bow your head, please. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the stirring of what your word is doing in our lives. Help us. Help us to be faithful and diligent to your word. Help us to no longer stand aside and just allow lies and hatred and the enemy to rule rampant over our lives and over our families. Help us, Father, to stand up for righteousness, stand up for truth, stand up for holiness. I thank you for the promise of your word that brings us to salvation. I thank you that you love every person in this place today, every man, every woman, every young person, every old, red, yellow, black, and white. We are all precious, Father, in your sight. For anyone in this room today, Father, anyone watching online this morning that does not have a personal relationship with you, they're frustrated and confused. Maybe they're really struggling with their identity. Father, I pray today that they will realize how much you love them and that you have a future and a hope for them, a place. Your grace will be sufficient. Your strength will be mighty in their lives, and you will accomplish great things for those who surrender completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. So with every head bowed this morning, and believers are praying right now, if you're in this place, you're watching online, you can call in. But if you're in this place today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I don't care how young you are, how old you are, you need today. If Jesus is knocking on your heart's door today, he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to impart his love, his goodness, his mercy, his kindness in your life. If that's you this morning, across this congregation, would you just simply lift up your hand and hold it until I see it, and then you can put it down. Yes, sir, God bless you. There are others in this place today. Yes, sir, God bless you. Thank you so very much. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Yes, God bless you, dear. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Yes, dear, God bless you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Father, thank you for these already. There are others this morning, today. They need Jesus in their life. I thank you for the revelation of how much you love them, that I feel. Give them that same revelation. One more minute before I close and pray. If today that's you, I know your heart's beating, your knees are knocking, it's the biggest decision you will ever make in your life, is I surrender to Jesus. I'm changing my destiny. I'm following God. Anyone else this morning, before I pray, just lift up your hand. Let me see it. All right, we're going to pray with these four or five that have responded today. Maybe there are others that are watching online this morning. You responded, pray this prayer with us. I'm going to invite everybody in the house to pray this prayer out loud. Those of you that have lifted your hand, you pray in faith. Today, Jesus is coming into your life. Pray this prayer with me. Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you that you gave Jesus. And Jesus, I thank you for being willing to come and to die on the cross so that I could know the Father. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you as well, that you're the one that's prepared my heart today to receive Jesus. So, Father, I confess my need of you. I confess that I've been a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin, past, present, and future. Today, I'm surrendering completely to you. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my Redeemer. Thank you for loving me so much and forgiving me so much. Father, I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. I want to invite you to stand. Prayer team, would you come quickly to the front? The worship team's going to come. Ask you, don't leave. We'll be through in just a couple of minutes, but we want to make room this morning for any and all of you that have a need in your life, physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. You're going through a battle. God loves you. God's here today to help you and to meet the need that you have. So as Jamie and the worship team come, I'm going to just invite you to step out, come. We'll take a couple of minutes and pray over all the needs in this place. So, Father God, once again, thank you that no matter what we came in here with today, we don't have to leave the same way. I pray today that whatever needs are in this house, you meet every need, touch every life, heal the sick, give hope to those who have no hope, give strength. Redeem those, Father, today who need something redeemed in their life. Those that are struggling emotionally or mentally, Lord, we stand against every demonic stronghold of the enemy that tries to bring in suicidal thoughts and thoughts of hurting oneself. Father, we rebuke those in Jesus' mighty name today and declare they have no place, no right, or no authority in the name of Jesus the Christ. So we give you all thanks and praise today as these lives are going to be touched in Jesus' name. If you have a need, come on up as the worship team begins to lead us.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, visit therockonline.org.